Good evening. Tonight, the subject of abortion. The illegal termination of pregnancy has reached epidemic proportions in this country. The conflict between the law and reality has resulted in a national dilemma. Abortion will continue.
Monday marks the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, January 22, 1973. Before the Supreme Court's decision, abortion was against the law in most of the country. Women who sought out the procedure took risks.
In the 1960s, an underground network of women in Chicago took a different risk, to try to give women seeking abortions a safer alternative. The group was known as Jane. And at first, they connected women with doctors who were willing to break the law and perform the procedure. And eventually, women in the collective trained to perform abortions themselves.
We're going to hear firsthand accounts of what they did and why. These accounts include some graphic descriptions that listeners may find disturbing. Radio Diaries brings us the story of the group.
My name is Wynette Willis. When I was 23 years old, I was a single mom, and I became pregnant. It terrified me, the thought of having another kid by myself. I think I was kind of desperate, actually. I remember being on an L on a train platform and seeing a sign. And the sign said, pregnant, and it was a question mark. Don't want to be? Question mark. Call Jane and a phone number. So I called.
My name's Heather Booth. I started Jane in 1965 when a friend of mine was looking for a doctor to perform an abortion. I made the arrangements. Then someone else called. Well, by the third call, I realized I couldn't manage it on my own. I thought I better set up a system.
My name is Martha Scott. I joined the group in 1969. I had four children under the age of five. Many of us were stay-at-home moms, a bunch of housewives.
I'm Jean Gallitzer-Levy. I was a member of Jane. I was 20 years old. I hadn't had so much as a speeding ticket, but abortion really was the front line. It was where women are dying.
There was all kinds of stories out there. You know, people who had used a hanger to stick in themselves to kind of stimulate abortions. But I wasn't going to do that. So that's why I went to Jane.
Women would call an answering machine. Were asked to give their phone number, their name, and the date of their last period.
We met someone before they were going to do this. We gave them a chance to talk about it, and we told them what was going to happen. There were lots of points along the way where they could have said no, changed my mind. Because you do think about it a lot. I don't think anyone chooses to have an abortion lightly.
I remember the day of, I took public transportation to this apartment in Hyde Park. There was like seven or eight people in there, and we waited. At the appointed time, we were put into a car, and we were taken to a second location where the abortion was performed. It felt very underground, you know. I remember looking at the people who performed the surgery, and I felt relief. That somebody was going to help me.
Good evening. The facts are astonishing. Hundreds of thousands of pregnant women, unmindful of what may happen to them, secretly seek abortions. For them, there is a wide gulf between what the law commands and what they feel they must do.
My name is Ted O'Connor. I was a young homicide detective on the south side of Chicago. This is a Catholic city. Abortion wasn't even discussed, and I knew nothing about Jane. The whole operation was totally under our radar.
Jane was very organized and very clandestine and secretive.
My name is Leslie Regan. I'm a professor of history and author of the book When Abortion Was a Crime. The thing that ultimately made Jane so unique was they took the practice of abortion into their own hands. They decided to learn and perform abortions themselves. And that was a stunning decision.
We told them up front we were not doctors. you know, doctors charged $500 a pop. So we would say, we charge $100, but we will take what you can pay. We were doing 4 days a week, and we were typically doing 10 women a day.
We would rent apartments all over the city. We set up in two bedrooms and put linens on the bed and sterilized our instruments. So the person who was having the abortion would, you know, stretch out, and the person who was assisting would sit with them while it was happening, you know, hold hands and, you know. And then I would insert the speculum, administer the anesthesia that was delivered by 4 shots to the cervix. And then the cervix would be dilated. And then the instrument would be inserted into the uterus to remove the material. So that was the procedure.
We gave every woman a little pill box with ergotrate to help prevent bleeding and tetracycline, which is an antibiotic. By and large, we were dealing with healthy women pregnancies. I mean, we were not qualified to deal with somebody with real medical problems.
I probably did hundreds of abortions. I mean, the fact is, abortion is a pretty easy procedure. But still, you're messing around inside somebody else's body. It's not necessarily given that you won't do harm. There were problems. There were people who ended up in the emergency room. You know, it wasn't always perfect by any means. You know, we felt it was the right thing to do. But that doesn't mean anything when the police are actually at your door.
It was spring of 1972, and two female Hispanics walked into the police station, and they told us that their sister-in-law was going to have an abortion. Of course, these women were Catholic, and to them, one, it was a sin, and two, they didn't want a child killed. That's how they felt. And so with two unmarked squad cars, we managed to follow our target, drove into the South Shore neighborhood, pulled up in front of one of the apartment buildings, rode up on the elevator, and we saw a young woman, late 20s, extremely well-dressed, and she stopped momentarily and braced herself. She was pale. Looks like the blood had drained out of her face. And my partner took her by the arm and in a very stern voice said, "Did you just have an abortion?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Where?" And she led us to the door. I really didn't know what to expect when I walked in there. The living room was filled with young women waiting for an abortion. I was shocked to see it. And of course, they were very surprised when we came in.
They were such Chicago cops, you know? They were burly. They spoke with Southside accents. They came in and looked around and said, "Where's the doctor?" Looking for the guy. But there wasn't any guy, you know? There was just us.
I remember one of the women asked me what I thought these women were supposed to do if they couldn't get an abortion. You know, what did I think was the right thing? And I told her, "Listen, I don't have any opinions about what they should do, but you're breaking the law. That's all I know. And that's why I'm here." So we arrested everybody.
I remember being handcuffed to somebody, and we were all taken down to women's lockup.
We were charged with 11 counts of abortion and conspiracy to commit abortion.
I remember thinking at the time, I can see both sides of this. It's a tough issue. You know, on my side is, I don't want to see a life destroyed. That life is helpless. It has no choice in this. And that angers me. On the other hand, I've never been pregnant.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions. The majority in cases...
6 months after the arrests, the Supreme Court decided Roe versus Wade. And ultimately, the charges that had been brought against Jane are dropped.
Anti-abortion laws of 46 states were rendered unconstitutional.
Roe v. Wade brought an end to Jane, because now there were legal providers. But the controversy didn't just disappear.
Perhaps more than any other issue in American life today, the abortion question is loaded with the emotional arguments of life, death, and morality. Not the kinds of issues a court can finally settle.
Roe v. Wade made such an enormous difference. It was a very important victory. At that point, we all kind of scattered, went on to other things. I mean, we really thought the fact that it was legal would change things, that this wouldn't be as political anymore, that it would fade a lot as any kind of a social issue. But we were wrong. We were wrong.
Jane performed approximately 11,000 first and second trimester abortions before Roe versus Wade. No deaths of women were ever reported in connection with the service.
This story was produced by Nellie Gillis with Joe Richman and Sarah Kate Kramer. It was edited by Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. A special thank you to Laura Kaplan, author of The Story of Jane. You can hear this story and more on the Radio Diaries podcast.
And elsewhere in the show, we will hear more about the current debate around abortion. Thousands of anti-abortion rights activists came to Washington today for the annual March for Life. It's been held every year since the Supreme Court's decision in 1973. President Trump delivered a speech to the crowd on video. Some protesters held signs that said, "Make America pro-life again."